easiest choice you can make. Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Spring game was Saturday in Columbus at noon. Reach out to Tim May, get him here in a couple of minutes to talk about the Buckeyes. Interesting game. I mean, to me, this game was better than spring games we've watched in the past. It seemed to be a little bit more action going on. We had more to watch for, maybe because the expectations are so damn high for the Buckeyes this year. Secondary looked great. Defense looked good, and well, they should. It's a veteran-led group that's coming back. Most guys on their way back. And the secondary, the corners looked outstanding to me.
Yeah, they come up with three picks, three interceptions, mm-hmm. I think the secondary had. Mm-hmm. And Will Howard did not throw a touchdown pass. He's projected to be the number one quarterback, but not etched in stone, right, as of mm-hmm. yet. Devin Brown did throw a touchdown pass. Schramm, the kid from Medina High School, the walk-on from Medina High School, caught the touchdown pass from Devin Brown. So that was interesting. The offensive line, I still think, it is a major problem. It was last year, and I think it will be this year unless they address it via the transfer portal on that right side. And to find out more about that and everything that went on Saturday in Columbus, let's go to the hotline and bring in from LettermanRowe.com, the outstanding Buckeyes beat reporter. Follow him on Twitter at Tim_MaySports. He is Tim May. Tim, how are you today?
Road Warrior, I am doing fantastic.
Well, thank you for joining us here on the Kenny and JT Show. And 80,000 people showed up Saturday to get a look at the Buckeyes, and the Scarlet offense beat the Gray defense, I think, 34-33. Tim, what did you come away from in that game, first and foremost, that stands out in your mind?
Well, I mean, I said going in, and even said it, I think, on the Road Warrior show, that, my big question was who's going to be the right guard more than it was who's going to be the quarterback. Because I think they've got two quite capable quarterbacks, and a freshman coming on in Julian Sayin, and then another freshman, Aaron Nolan, who looked pretty good in his little limited time. But, I mean, he led two touchdown drives. But right guard, you know, was always my – I mean, you got to get the offensive line solidified before you – do almost anything else on any kind of football team. So it appears they still don't have that done. But, you know, they got a whole month of preseason. They've got several candidates for that job. So, you know, even like at least three candidates for the job and other options they can go to. So, but then past that, you know, it was a spring scrimmage. You know, it wasn't everybody just hanging it out, if you know what I'm saying. And it kind of played out that way.
Tim, do you expect them to explore the transfer portal for that right guard?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I don't know if they're that desperate. I would think if a capable person comes along like Josh Simmons did last year after spring ball, like Josh Simmons, who ended up being, you know, from San Diego State, ended up transferring in, headed into the summer, and ended up being their starting left tackle. If there's somebody like that who's capable, they might go for him. But they're not going to just grab a warm body. The closest they came to that was taking Victor Cutler last year before spring from Louisiana Monroe. And of course now, you know, he transferred to Louisville, and now he may be looking to leave and go somewhere else. But who knows what's going to happen in the portal, right?
Yeah, anything is possible in the portal. And I'm just wondering, Tim, with the way that it was talked about post-game, Did they do it purposely? And this is just the way my mind works, so bear with me here, Tim, okay? Did they do it purposely?
My mind works interestingly, Roadkill.
Thank you very much, Tim. Did they speak about that right guard position purposely to maybe get it out there to some players that, hey, I might want to transfer, good players, I might want to transfer to Ohio State because they're in need of a right guard instead of just getting a warm body, getting a good body to play that position?
You know, a couple, 3 years ago, that might have been the case about being, low-key, but getting the message across. In the modern world, man, you just pretty much zero in on somebody and go for them, you know, and throw out whatever NIL deal you can. I mean, not necessarily Ohio State can do that, but you can throw out whatever NIL deal it's going to take because, you know, it's free reign out there right now, man. This may be the beginning of the end of the Wild Wild West, but the Wild Wild West is still quite prevalent out in the hinterland. And everybody puts their shingle out like Alabama did several years ago after beating Ohio State in the college football playoff championship game, the COVID year, in, you know, the 2020 season. They pretty much let it be known they needed somebody, a wide receiver, to take the top off the defense. And lo and behold, Jameson Williams ends up, you know, transferring to Alabama after playing against them in the COVID bowl.
Tim, obviously in spring ball, we know this. Defense is always ahead of the offense. So I didn't expect too much yesterday, or I'm sorry, on Saturday to watch this game. But Jeremiah Smith, I mean, it seems as though this dude has got to be the second coming of, you know, take your pick as far as greatest offensive weapons that have ever played at Ohio State from what they talked about on Saturday's game. What do you see when you see the wide receiver?
I've never heard of him. What's his number?
I think it's 4.
Yeah. He's the real deal. I mean, there's a cliche. But I've told people, I was even talking about this on our pregame radio show for 2 hours on Saturday at one point. There's one guy I remember walking onto campus where I just watched him, and I just said, okay, this guy's ready to play. And his name was Orlando Pace.
Wow.
There have been a couple others maybe since then, but no one, I mean, even Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, should have gotten more ballyhoo than he did his freshman year. Should have gotten to play probably more than he did. But this Jeremiah Smith just looks the part and then delivers, you know what I mean? Like a like a good-looking Hollywood actor who also can act. he is the real thing. But Emeka Egbuka, maybe to get even and say, hey, I haven't left yet, you know, he had the spectacular catch on Saturday, the one-handed grab on the sideline, reminded you of Chris Carter in the, what was that, 1985 Citrus Bowl against BYU, just one-handed snag, and then he points first down. They're loaded at wide receiver, make no mistake about it. But Jeremiah Smith, I'm going to say it again, he's the real deal.
Tim May is our guest talking Ohio State football here on the Kenny and JT Show. Tim, break down what you did see, though, from the quarterback position, good and bad, and did anybody get a leg up?
Well, roadmap, that's a very interesting question, only because I thought of the two – what I call upperclassmen, Devin Brown and Will Howard. I thought Devin Brown was better just overall, but Will Howard, you know, did some nice things, did some good things. He played like a savvy veteran to a certain extent. He had pretty good pocket presence, but Devin Brown, who I think only threw, I think, 9 passes. Maybe I'm wrong. I think he was 6 out of 9 and had a touchdown throw. But also, he had a couple of runs, one in particular out the middle where, oh, my goodness, how fast he was running is what stood out. Now, you judge everything with like 4 or 5 shakers of salt because they were wearing – all the quarterbacks were wearing black jerseys and weren't to be hit, you know. So, but with that said, I thought Devin Brown – I didn't think Devin Brown took a backseat to Will Howard in that scrimmage. And I didn't think, for the most part, from what I've understood – through spring, he hasn't taken a back seat to him either. I mean, if you had to start one tomorrow, you probably would start Will Howard because he's got like, what, 25, 26 college starts under his belt. And Devin Brown has one, and he left out of that one at the end of the first quarter.
Tim, what about the Chip Kelly offense? I mean, which one of these quarterbacks would flourish under Chip Kelly?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm not being a smartass, but smart aleck. I'm sorry. I meant to pull over to a roadside stop, and I didn't. It's not the Chip Kelly offense. It's Ohio State's offense. I mean, it's Ryan Day's offense, but they brought Chip Kelly in for several reasons, and one of which was he's extremely smart. He is a guru, but he's also, as much as everybody thinks about modern offenses and the passing game and a lot of what he ran at Oregon, well, it wasn't just, you know, spread the field and throw it. I mean, he had a great running game at Oregon. He had a great running game at UCLA. Everywhere he's been a head coach, well, maybe not at Philadelphia and San Francisco. I'll have to recheck those stats for those 2 years, but he's had a great running game, and anybody can see the running game was ho-hum, mediocre, whatever you want to put on it. Last year was not consistent, and Ryan Day wanted to get that fixed if he could. I do believe Chip Kelly was Ryan Day's first real choice for the offensive coordinator job. You know, they talk, if not every day, you know, every other day, probably even during the season, because obviously they're both from the same hometown in Manchester in New Hampshire. And number two, everybody knows Chip Kelly was Ryan Day's offensive coordinator at the University of New Hampshire and has coached with him several times. So they're big time close friends. But I really think Chip Kelly was kind of putting out feelers last year in December that maybe he wanted to move on from UCLA, but where he wanted to move was back into the NFL, possibly as a coordinator, really didn't get that sniff. In the meantime, Bill O'Brien became available, and so Ryan Day hired Bill O'Brien, but then all of a sudden we all know what happened with Bill O'Brien. Wait a minute, he's left already? Yeah, he went to Boston College, his, quote, dream job, end quote. Not sure I quite understand that being your dream job, but then all of a sudden, the Chip Kelly window was still there, and Ryan Day pounced on it. And what he brings is a really fresh look at the running game. They've got, as you well know, even with Dallin Hayden expected to jump into the transfer portal, and obviously he didn't play on Saturday and wasn't there. They're still loaded at the running back position where they're two lead guys, and then James Peoples and Sam Williams-Dixon get from Pickerington, and they feel really good about their running game. They, like I talked about, I think they feel okay about their offensive line, but they would have, I think, liked to have gotten a right guard settled on before the end of spring. But the fact that didn't happen, they have candidates. But I'm getting back to Chip Kelly. You saw what he did on the very first play. What'd they do? They went from the double wing and shifted into the robust T as a tribute to Woody Hayes. I mean, Chip Kelly's smart, and he gets it.
Tim, as we look at this team this year, so many changes with the transfer portal and Chip Kelly coming in, new running backs coach and everything, and a new Ryan Day from the standpoint that he's now the CEO, right, overlooking everything. How is he handling that new role as the head coach, paying more attention to all three phases as opposed to just the offense and calling plays?
Well, for example, when you've asked him questions about the defense this spring, he's had some detailed insightful answers. I'm not, even last year when he tried to kind of step away a little bit, and when he made Brian Hartline the offensive coordinator, he was still very much involved with the offense. And, of course, we all saw as spring went on and then the summer went on, it was pretty obvious that Ryan was going to be back to what he's always done, which is call plays. So
right.
The fact he's not going to be calling plays, it appears, is a big relief. But he has roamed the field. I mean, we all, you know, y'all know about him coaching the running backs for a week or so. when Tony Alford jumped up and left, and he enjoyed doing that. But he's, you've also seen him paying attention, moving around to position drills. At least when we've been able to watch a little bit of practice, he's moved around to all the position drills, and he's much more in tune, I do believe, with what's going on with Jim Knowles and the defense. So that's what, more than anything, he's just a more well-rounded head coach. He always has been to a certain extent, but now he's definitely got the credentials, and, you know, it should pay off for him, because Ryan Day's a very, very intelligent, as opposed to just one very, he's a very, very intelligent football coach. And when he applies that to places other than third and seven, what am I going to call, it could really reap some benefits.
All right, last thing, and we'll let you go here, Tim May. At what point do you think Ryan Day wants to have the right guard position figured out by and his starting quarterback figured out by?
You're talking about Ryan Day, not Tim May. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Tim May.
I would, you know, personally, I would think, and I mean, you know, he as he said in reaction to that similar question a couple of weeks ago, he has no problem with what he did last year, because those guys never truly separated themselves. I'm talking about Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, before they finally just kind of pulled the trigger, went with the guy who'd been there a little bit longer, and because you had to get somebody ready to play at Notre Dame. So they've got a real good pathway. As you know, they opened with Akron right up the road from you guys. I don't know if you've ever heard of the University of Akron, but they opened with Akron. And round down the line, they've got a good pathway until they make their first road trip. I think their first road trip's on the road to Michigan State, and they come home and play Iowa before going to Oregon. I would think definitely before the Iowa game, they kind of want to be cemented on where they are from a quarterback standpoint. But I think it'll be before that. I think second week or so of preseason camp, they're going to probably name a guy. And I would think the same timetable you're looking at for right guard. Now I say that Ryan has been adamant, and anybody knowing anything about college football rosters knows this has to be the case. Their dream is to play at least 16 games this year.
Right.
And you got to have, as he pointed out, you got to have three quarterbacks ready to go. And you've got to have, Chip Kelly wants to have 10 offensive linemen ready to go. Not five and a spare. So, you know, this developmental aspect of things will continue into a preseason camp, that's for sure.
Tim, we always appreciate the time and the insightful insight that you bring to WHBC. Thanks so much for joining us. Continued good health and fantastic work there at LettermanRow.com, and we'll talk to you again down the road, all right?
Road Gutter, you know that I always enjoy talking to you fellas on WHBC.